Amen. You may be seated. Are you having a good rally so far? The weather has been incredible. Friday, I looked out over the crowds downtown, and I was a little worried. Saturday morning, I went back down, and I was still a little worried. Then by 1 o'clock, I stopped worrying. I don't know if you were down there and you saw some of the crowds, but it was wonderful to see people out again. It was wonderful to see people smiling again. Amen. I'm excited, and I hope that you are too. It just feels like we're getting back to living after a long, long winter month, which seemed to last 2 years. This song talks about life from death. It's called Graves into Gardens, and the words are incredible. If you don't know it, you'll get onto it very, very quickly. If you do know it, let's sing it and shake all of hell with its truth. Search the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures of pain are never enough. Then you came along and you put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied. taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, guys, it's always interesting when we try to do a service where we've invited people from all over the province, and we never know what songs to choose, what songs people will know or won't know. This is one that's been played on the radio a little bit by an artist whose name is Zach Williams, and we've really appreciated his ministry here in the church and some of his music, and we said, you know what, this is one that you may recognize even from the radio. It's called Chain Breaker. I hope that you capture its truth today, and if you know it, sing it out. That if you've been set free, say hallelujah. Amen. Well, this is one of those songs that we threw back and forth, but Phil said, you know what, we need to do this one, and it's because of the words, and I couldn't argue with him, that's for sure. It's called No Longer Slaves. And again, just being set free is something that I hope you never ever forget who you were before Christ, right? that we are sinners saved by grace. Amen? And never forget it, never forget it, because we're no longer slaves. And you know what? That does something in your brain, in your head, how we take captive every thought, because the enemy's going to try to lie to you. The enemy's going to try to bring you down. The enemy's going to try to hold you back. You're no longer slaves to that nonsense. Amen? And if we remember that, we can testify, and we can proclaim, and we can have that authority that is only through the cross and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to tell the enemy, hands off, I'm no longer yours. Amen? Whew. Let's proclaim it as we sing it today.
Surround me with a song.
Amen. Well, this next song is brand new to us, and it's a song that we sang last week, and it kind of touched me. The reason why we came to it is we had a young person from our church say, "Pastor, you know what? There's this song that has really been blessing me." And when she first told me about it, I kind of listened to it, and it was not what I expected in my brain. It was not what I expected in my heart kind of thing. It was just one of those songs where I went, yeah, that's okay. By the time we practiced it as a group, it was incredible to me the way the words started to open up my spirit. Like, it was so cool. It was this feeling of, you know what, we are standing before an almighty, holy God. And the last week when we did it for the first time in both our services, it just felt like heaven had opened up and we could behold the Lamb. Anyway, I've just been praying that it would bless you because it has sure blessed me. Let's sing this new one.
To rejoice and hold on.
could truly see the Lord in all his glory, it would change everything in you. Let's stand together. How's everybody doing today? Good. You know, we've been at the church going through a series that we just began a couple of weeks ago called Agape Love. And when I looked at the calendar, it was one of those things where I said, you know what, this is perfect for a Warfrat weekend, because we've been talking about this blessing that God wants to give us in a love that is deeper than anything that you have probably ever experienced in your life. It's a crazy love, right? And the first week, I was talking about a certifiable God who loves you in a certifiable way, and we had some visitors here, and they kind of were raising their eyebrows saying, could you really call God crazy? Yeah. It makes no sense, this love that we have been talking about. Why in the world does God love you, right? Why in the world does God love me? When we think about it, right, what does God gain by loving us? He gains usually nothing but trouble and trials. He gains nothing but pain. Why? Because you and I are like sheep and we make a mess. Not that we mean to, but we do it over and over and over again. And yet, you know what? Our God is so crazy that he thinks that you're to die for. So think about that with me, church. God chooses you. Are you grateful for a perfect love like that? Like, you know what you bring to the table, right? If you strip yourself down and you're to be honest with yourself, you know that you cause nothing but pain and trouble for him, and yet he loves you. He chooses you, that perfect love, that constant love, that passion that transcends time. It's amazing. And last week, we talked about that idea. So, you know what? If this is a new idea for you, this depth of love that only God has but can flow through you, then I want to encourage you to go back on the podcast and listen to last week's message. We talked about the greatest commandment. And when you think about the greatest commandment, anytime somebody says, this is the greatest thing you need to know, you ever talk to some of those seniors, right, who's the curtains coming down on their life, right? You better listen to them. And if they ever say to you, son, this is the greatest thing that I could tell you. Wow, you better listen, right? That's some pretty important stuff. And so Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? We talked about it last week, Matthew 22. He said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And he said the second greatest commandment is like it. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. But last week, we talked about the problem with that. The problem with that is that we come to God from our very first encounter with him, and we need from him, don't we? We need from him. So it's not that we're seeking God. We're seeking what God can bring to us. And that habit usually forms very quickly in the church, but it's a habit that can hold you back. It's not a bad habit in that sense, but it's a bad habit in this, that you will never know the depth of God if you don't let go of this bad habit. So let me show you and flush it out. You seek God, what? And his forgiveness, don't you? That's how your journey begins. Praise the Lord for that. And we all need that, but then the habit starts to form. Okay, then we seek God and the healing that he can bring, because most of us come in pieces, don't we? So then we start to seek that healing, and then we seek God and his love, right? And the love becomes the focus. Then we seek God and his strength. And all those things are good things, but last week we challenged you to omit the end. Omit the end. What would happen in your life if you would just seek God? You know, it's the first and greatest commandment. To seek him with all your heart, soul, and mind. Imagine what could happen if we could seek him like that. And you know what? We go, okay, well, are we not supposed to bring our needs to God? Of course you're supposed to bring your needs to God. He loves to have communion with you. That's why he died on the cross. Right? So there'd be nothing between you and he, and it's kind of one of those things. He loves that conversation, but he already knows what you need before you ever ask, right? Like think about that in Scripture. It makes it very clear, Matthew 6, 7, and 8, right? And when you pray, Jesus said, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ever ask him, right? And yet, how many times do we get into this habit of coming to God in need? I come to him in need. I come to him in need. I come to him in need. Have you ever just come to God alone? Whew. It's a different level, isn't it?
Coming to God alone and omitting the end, just seeking him and him alone. And you know what? When that happens, when you start to understand the intimacy that is available between you and an almighty God, it'll change your life forever. That you could love him with all you have, all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. And then you start to become familiar with agape love, right? This love with no conditions. The greatest love in all the universe available to you, right? And then you'd see things differently. Why? Because after you started to receive agape love from God, agape love could flow through you, a perfect, sacrificial, complete love. Can you love like that on your own? No, you can't. You're like me. We're miserable, right? We're selfish. Right? We can't love like that on our own, but agape love, if we would seek God, if we would seek God with all our heart and soul, then all of a sudden his love would start to flow through us. What would happen? We talked a little bit about it last week, but I want to flush it out this week. If you started to love like that, you'd be able to see yourself in a different way. What do I mean by that? You'd start to see what God sees in you. You'd love yourself. And I mentioned it last week, but you know that counselors and pharmacies would go out of business if you, the church, could start to understand how to love yourself the way God loves you. And not only that, then you'd be useful, because if you started to love yourself, then you could love your neighbor as yourself. Woo! That changes everything, doesn't it? So today I want to talk about this idea of loving yourself. Really letting go of all that comes between you and God. And again, what things come between you and God? There's a lot of things, even for mature Christians. How many of you ever dealt with insecurity? Little voices in your head, right? There's times where you don't feel like, man, I'm not good enough. Correct, but it should not hold you back, right? Take captive that thought and wrestle it to the ground. How many of you ever dealt with guilt? Woo, right? The past, the enemy tries to come and take a few swipes at you, and as warriors, we're supposed to take swipes back at him. If he comes at you to make you bleed, make sure that he leaves limping. You know what I'm saying? How many of you ever dealt with pain issues from the past? Emotional pains and sometimes physical pains. Sometimes we have trust issues. Sometimes there's negativity that filters into our life. There's things that we start to fear. Why in the world would you fear? There's things that we lust after, and you know what? Some of those things are God-given desires, but we lust after the things that we probably shouldn't lust after, and all of a sudden materialism comes in, and we start to chase the wrong things, and we can't seem to be happy. Stuff comes between you and God all the time. Stuff comes between me and God all the time. Why do we do that? I want to read a story of a feller who kind of let some stuff come between him and the Father. And this is a story that many of you know well. It's found in Luke chapter 15, starting to read at verse 11. But you guys will know it as soon as we start it. It says, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to the father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, and he set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up, and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, and he threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found. Woo! A beautiful, incredible story. And I know that you've heard that story before. Sure you have, right? And it's a tale about you and I, really. It's our story as well, right? The father we see in here, he's a really good guy. He's worked hard all of his life to gain some wealth. Why? So he could provide for his two sons and have something to pass on to them. That would be his legacy, right? And even though they had it really, really good at home. Even though they had it really, really good at home, you know what? The younger son says, wow, there's things that I want to do. There's dreams that I have. And so what does he do? He goes to the father and he says, give me my half now. And again, the father loving him says, you know what? I'm going to grant you your wish. So the word of God says the younger son takes off to chase his dreams, right? He takes off to make his own way. He takes off to become his own man. He takes off. What is he doing? He's seeking the blessing, isn't he? He's seeking the blessing. Have you been there? I've been there. I know that you've been there. Sure you have. Some people spend their whole lives trying to find the blessing. That's why we toil. That's why we work overtime. That's why we take little vacation. We look, we chase our dreams, but there's a problem. The dreams that we find, they never seem to last. They never seem to fulfill. The blessings that we find fall short of that fulfillment, don't they? Why is that? Likely you know. Likely you already know the answer. Why is that? Why do those blessings seem to lack the fulfillment? Well, it comes back to this definition of sin. What is sin? Sin is when you and I try to fulfill God-given desires without God. That's sin. When you and I try to fulfill God-given desires without God, we chase all the blessings that God has designed for us to experience in this life, but we do it without Him. And what do? We find ourselves living a wild life like the youngest son. Oh, we're taking risks. We're living for the adventure. We look for love in all of the wrong places. And what is the result? We're left alone and wanting, just like this younger son. We squander the wealth and the blessing. When the party's over, what happens? We're alone, facing a famine. He went looking for a blessing, and he ended up hungry and tired and worn out. Have you ever been there? I've been there. And it's not just a physical thing, but a lot of times it is a physical thing too. Have you ever been there spiritually, hungry, tired, and worn out? Can you relate to that in the depths of your spirit? We always end up that way when we try to fulfill God-given desires without God. Because you will seek blessings in the wrong places. You will seek blessings with the wrong individuals. You will seek blessings the wrong way. Instead of blessings, you end up empty. I love it in the story when it says this. Then he came to his senses. Those beautiful words lead to a beautiful choice. It says he got up and he went to the father. Think about that, right? While he's there hungry and worn out and tired, he's saying, there's nobody who's hungry in my father's house, not even the servants. There's nobody in my father's house who's beaten down like I'm beaten down. There's nobody in my father's house, even the servants, who are worn out like I feel worn out. They all get rest. They all have a good bed. They all have time off. They all are well fed. So he gets up and he goes to his father's. It says, and while he was still a long way off, the father saw him, and filled with compassion for him, he ran to his son, he threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. And the son found out a powerful truth that day, that the blessing we seek, the blessing that we toil after, the blessing that we want, it's always waiting in the embrace of the father. Do you know that, church? The blessing that you need is waiting in the arms of the Father. There's no blessing like it. It's agape love. Do you know that kind of love this morning? Because if you have, you know what? You'll find out that it is a love and it is a blessing that is lasting. It's fulfilling. It's intoxicating. It's better than anything we could ever chase on our own. Woo! Because it's a joy that has no ending, a spring of living water. Have you ever known true joy? Well, the Father has it waiting for you. Have you ever known true love? Well, the Father has it waiting for you. Have you ever known true peace? It's a peace of a different essence, the Word of God teaches us. Have you ever known forgiveness? Freedom from your past. We've been singing about it. Chain breaker, no longer a slave to fear. You know, everything. Sexual fulfillment. Think about that. Ooh, did he just say that in church? It's God's idea. It's his design. You want to be fulfilled and blessed in every way, financially, with relationships, then we need to find the blessing in the arms of the Father. He designed you. Who knows best how to bless you? Oh, that we would come home. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you're tired of chasing. You feel like worn out from this race. And every time you think that you've gotten a hold of something that's going to last, it usually lets you down. Maybe worse. Maybe you've been running so long in so many different ways that you don't even know which way you're going anymore. Do you know that the Word of God tells us that Jesus is the way? Jesus is the way. Jesus leads you to the blessing. And who did he point to? We just came through a whole summer series called The Sermon on the Mount, 17 different messages where we looked at Jesus' manifesto. What was Jesus' manifesto? The kingdom of God has come. And then what did he do? He pointed to the Father. If Jesus was the way to the blessing, whoo, and he pointed to the Father, whoo, maybe it's time for you to come home to the arms of God. This is what I want to do. Everybody close your eyes. We're going to have a physical blessing of the bikes in just a minute. Brother Nathan is here, and oh, he was playing bass this week. It felt so good. I want you to close your eyes because I want to pray. My first question is this, is do you need him? You know, maybe you have been chasing things all of your life, and every time you grasp what you've chased so long for, you found out that that thing hurt you, that thing bit you, that thing let you down. That thing wasn't fulfilling at all. That thing almost ruined you. I don't know what that thing is, but you do. Maybe you're here and you're like the younger son and you're saying, you know what, man, I am hungry and worn out and beat down, and this is not the way to live my life. Everything that I grab turns to dust. And maybe you've never ever come to that place where, like the younger son, you've come to your senses. And what did he do? He came to his senses and he said, in my Father's house, nobody's hungry. In my Father's house, nobody's lonely. In my Father's house, nobody's beat down. In my Father's house, there is peace. What in the world am I doing? Let me go to my Father's house. And as he went to the Father's house, the Father was waiting. The Father was watching. The Father came running with arms wide open and embraced him and kissed him. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Maybe you need to come home today. If you've never asked God into your heart, this is an opportunity. Don't let it go by. Let today be the day of salvation. It's just a simple prayer. You can pray whatever you want. The prayer that I prayed was this: Jesus, I need you. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, I need you. It makes it very clear that I'm a mess, that I'm a sinner, that I don't know the way. Jesus, forgive me. It acknowledges his sacrifice and death upon the cross, that he took upon himself my grave and that he rose again. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, forgive me. If you're there today, come home, come home, come home, and find out in your Father's house all your true desires could be met and provided for. If you prayed that, I want to welcome you to the family of God. You know what? I would encourage you to find a church. If you're not from here, if you're from here, find a church of believers. You'll recognize them because they will shine like the stars in the heaven and they will encourage you. That's a beautiful thing. But everybody, keep your eyes closed still. Maybe you're here today and you've already come home. You already feel blessed by the Father. But something in your life and your spiritual walk seems a little off. And you can't seem to make much ground in your spiritual journey. You never feel like you're spinning your tires, church? Do you ever feel like you're stuck in a rut, church? Yeah, sometimes we do that. It seems like, you know what, you take one step forward, you take three steps back. Can you relate? If that's you and you find yourself staggering a little bit today, I think I know what the problem would be. The problem is you haven't learned to love yourself. Oh, you're trying to love God with all you have, right? You're doing your darndest to love Him with all your heart, soul, and mind, but then you keep tripping over yourself. Why? Well, maybe you haven't learned to love yourself. Maybe, church, you don't see what God sees. Oh, you love God. But now you need to figure out how to love yourself. Loving God may be the greatest commandment, but the second is like it, to love yourself. And then if you would do that, if you would receive that agape love, even for yourself, then you would become this incredible whirlwind for the community because you would start loving others, even your enemies. Do you hear me? So if you're here today and maybe you're saved, but you're struggling, you know that the Father was waiting for you. You've received His embrace. Church, you maybe need to remember why He came running to you and why His arms were wide open. Do you know how important you are to Him, church? He ran to you. He kisses you. He places His ring on your finger and gives you shoes for your feet, and He calls for the very best robe. Do you know, church, how important you are to Him? He runs to you, kisses you, clothes you, provides for you, and He calls for the fatted calf to be killed. He throws party after party for you. Church, do you know how important you are to Him? Today, church, could you see yourself as God sees you, that you are a child of the King? Live accordingly. You are a child of the King. Love yourself. Love yourself. Receive the blessing. You're important. See what the Father sees. Scripture tells us that if you're saved today, if you're part of the family of God, well, then you're fearfully and wonderfully made. It tells us, Scripture, that you are a friend of God. Scripture tells us that you are free from condemnation. It tells us that you are anointed. It tells us that you are a saint, and on and on and on and on and on it goes. Oh, church, would you see what the Father sees? You are chosen. His workmanship. It says that you can do all things, that you are the very temple of God. He dwells in you. Church, would you see what the Father sees? Love yourself. He knows you're worthy of it. He paid it all so that you could know you're worthy of it. Maybe you've been struggling and you need to pray something like this. Thank you, Father, for running after me. Thank you, Father, I receive your blessing. I will love like you love, and that starts with loving myself. So I come against every negative thought today, and I'm choosing the blessing. I'm choosing the blessing that leads to freedom. Church, receive it. You know, the next few weeks we're going to be talking about how can this agape love, once you love yourself, how can you love your neighbor? Once you love yourself, how can agape love flow through the church and flow through the community and flow through your very family? But it starts with loving this child of God. It starts with loving yourself. Whew. I want to do this. Again, still keep your eyes closed. It's like it being private, right? We got to get stuff right in our heads and our heart before we can live it aloud. But how many of you would say today, nobody looking around, just say today, you know what, man, whether it was the first prayer, Jesus, I need you, Jesus, forgive me, or it was this prayer where you said, Father, I finally received the blessing. I'm going to see what you see. I'm going to love myself. Would you just raise your hand real quick? Nobody looking around. I just want to see. I'm going to be praying for you. Man, hands all over the place. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to be praying for you. Oh, man, that thrills me. Man, this stuff, you want to know what? Whew. 18 years ago, the Warfront Rally began. There's several fellers right here in this room who were on that very first board. Why did the church get involved? The church got involved because we wanted moments like this where we could testify to the goodness of God and that there is a better way. There is a blessing. There is a blessing for all of mankind, no matter what you've been, no matter what you've done. There's a blessing for you. You know what? Every year since that very first year, God has used this service. So your hands being up, wow, that didn't surprise me. But I stand in awe of it every time. I stand in awe of it every time. Let me pray for you now. Father God, I want to say thank you. You are the blessing. You are the blessing. For those who might have found you for the very first time today, for those who returned home, Father God, I pray that you would give them the courage to tell somebody. I pray that you'd give them the courage to find a church. A church that is alive, a church that is doing things in their community, a church that rejoices with this choice today. And Father God, that they would have brothers and sisters beside them who would cheer them on, just like heaven is cheering them on now. And Father, if there are those who are here today who have already received this salvation that you give, I pray that we would start seeing things a little differently, that we would start living accordingly, that we would come to this place, Father God, where we truly understand that we are children of the King, that we would love ourselves. Why? Because you think we're to die for. We'd start to live the blessing. Nothing would hold us back. We would know that the enemy is nothing but a liar, and we come against every lie and every discouragement that he brings our way, that we would be warriors, that we'd live victorious, and that our love would so captivate the world that we'd be able to point back to the Father who embraced us and kissed us too. Whew. I pray those things in the incredible name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen, Brother Nathan. Man, come and let's bless our rides.
Amen. Whoa. You turned this off, didn't you?
No.
No. I only got 5 minutes. And I don't have any time to comment on what Andrew just said, but he's preaching and I'm arguing. I'm down in the pew and I'm arguing with him in my mind. I don't want to love myself. I don't even like myself. If you knew me, you wouldn't like me either. You know what? I'm my own worst enemy. And Jesus says, love your enemies. If that's the best I can do, I'll start there. Because the brother's right. We come for a blessing. Blessing isn't magic. Me and my brother Jeff Cowan, we're going to tag team the bikes out there. If you want to have your bike blessed, either stand or sit on the bike, and we will pray for the blessing of God. It's really important to us that you know a blessing isn't magic. It's not hocus pocus. It's not good luck. We all know what blessings are because we're all in relationships. Everybody in your life that you have a relationship with is either a blessing to you or a curse. Bad news, it works the other way around too. You are either a blessing to them or you're a curse to them. Do we work for the light? Do we work for the darkness? My little girl, not little anymore, going to be 19 in 2 weeks, Cedar Rose, some of you know her. She's working at the Visitor Information Center in Bear River 2 days ago. She says, Dad, why do all those wharf rat guys, when they drive through Bear River, why do they gotta go brap, brap, brap and make all that noise? And I said, I don't know, honey. And then I realized, wait, I do know. I try not to do it. And if I do it, I repent of it. I don't want to be annoying. I don't want to wake up my elderly neighbors in the middle of the night with a loud brap, brap, brap. But even if I don't do it, I know why people do it. And sometimes I do it. Do you confess? Come up here to the altar. We're going to pray for your forgiveness. If you brap on those pipes, I certainly understand why. We're not allowed to roar much in our culture. But when you're on your bike and you're on your way through, you can roar. You can rack it right up and make a loud noise. Our culture's sitting on us, trying to tell us, sit down, shut up, be quiet. You love God, great, shut up, don't tell anybody. 50 countries in the world today control what you are allowed to say about Jesus. You can talk filth, blasphemy, and crime all day long, but if you say, Jesus changed my life, now you're in trouble. The darkness rises like the tide, and the church of Jesus is told, sit down, be quiet. But we got a roar in our hearts. It's not about getting some religion and getting your life straightened out. It's you met somebody who took off the handcuffs, opened the cell door and let you out, set you from everything about yourself that you hate and you can't not tell people, because God says, take my love and roar it to the world. The time has come, brothers and sisters, for us to roar the love of God. It's not proper, though, is it? It's not proper to roar. The Nova Scotians are all about proper. I guess it's okay to roar if you're at a hockey game. Go, Habs, go! I may be in the wrong building. Or if you're at an AC/DC concert, rock and roll! Because in that situation, it's proper. Proper to roar. If you've met Jesus, you've really got something to roar about. And you know what? Your life is already expressing what's inside of you. Your life already roars something. You may not know yourself very well. Everybody around you knows you. They see what you do, and that's what you're about. Jesus says, know the tree by the fruit. We want to roar the love of God against the darkness. We want to be a blessing. I'm just going to say a quick prayer right here, and then we're going to go out, and if you want your bike to be blessed, go near your bike, because we don't want to just bless the machine. We want to bless the riders. Let's pray. Lord, we want to be a blessing, especially as the darkness gathers and rises. We want to be a burning flame of the love of God. We don't want to be obnoxious and judgmental. But we don't want to sit quietly while the world dies, commits suicide, falls into addiction. We want to be blessings. Bless us, O Lord. May we bless others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Meet me out in the parking lot.